podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
And it does mean that Guardiola is playing a bit deeper than obviously that period of sort of January.
Guardiola ain't playing.
Did I say Guardiola?
Yeah. Yeah.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Planet Sky FF, the world where everything revolves around £50,000. My name's Serge.
And my name is James.
I reckon I deserve 50 grand just for not cocking up the intro, to be honest with you, because it's pretty common that I do.
That's probably the highlight of your Sky season over the last few weeks, isn't it?
Mate, it's been abysmal. Another abysmal week. And I say abysmal, it's not been the worst week ever. But it's not been ideal. I captained Kelechi Iheanacho on Friday, as a lot did. So that was okay. Having seen Kevin De Bruyne wasn't in the Manchester City team, I decided to go Azpilicueta.
Didn't you have Cancelo as well?
I had Cancelo as well, but I thought Chelsea, I fancied a Chelsea clean sheet more than I fancied Cancelo. So I thought, let me go Chelsea clean sheet. Bruno, ahead of Son, who I own, and not many people own.
What?
Why did you just Bruno, that? Bruno consistency, and then obviously Jesse Lingard.
You got a differential with an absolutely brilliant fixture. Mm,
yeah, this is why people don't take my advice in this game. I am learning though very steadily that my FPL decisions shouldn't affect my Sky decisions.
No, the two should not correlate in any way, mate. I take it you did Lingard captain Monday as well.
Correct, ahead of Patricio, which. Much of a muchness, to be honest with you.
Yeah, no difference, mate. Yeah. I, like you, Iheanacho, captain Friday night. I've obviously been going with this Madison differential rather than say a defensive. And Madison was like one off everything. Shot tier, passing tier, tackle tier.
Yeah.
Laid one on a plate for Vardy that he couldn't finish. He could have hauled, actually, but ends up with just the 4 points. He got shot tier one. Saturday, I had a difficult choice between Duncan and Calvert-Lewin. As I said on our Patreon pod on Friday,
DCL
I
decided was going to be your choice.
I was going to go Calvert-Lewin. Dunkey got his 10 points, as he does. He's a superstar, mate. But quite pleased with Calvert-Lewin's 9 points, although having scored early and then having nearly put Everton in front quite soon afterwards, there was a little bit of, it could be a good differential little haul here, actually, because he's only sort of 16% owned, Calvert-Lewin. I know most had got too frustrated and got rid. Sunday, I captained Kane, which is nothing, but I guess 4 points better than your Bruno Fernandes pick. Yeah. And I went Lingard Monday as well. So my only returnees actually from the weekend were Iheanacho, Calvert-Lewin and Dunk for a measly 56 points. Leaves me right where I was, 29th.
I was Iheanacho, Son and Cancelo and I'm on 49 points. So not the worst. Still sitting with six transfers, still plodding along until the end of the season. But unlike FPL, I do want this season to end now. I feel like I want to start fresh, a clean slate and give Sky another go for next season because I'm languishing in and around 1,500, 1,800, 1,300.
Could do with about another 10 game weeks, to be honest. Be really handy.
What's your position now? You were 29th or 27th last time we spoke.
29th, yeah. I think
last time we spoke about Sky, I should say, because we've spoken about a ton of stuff in between.
I don't know what my FPL rank is, mate. It starts with a 2, and it's only got 5 digits afterwards, fortunately, than 6. 29th, top 10's too far off now. Top 20, I think, is even going to be really difficult. There's more of a chasing pack where I am than kind of a pushing ahead. So it's probably more for me now. I'm in really good positions in mini leagues. It's probably now for me more about holding that off and putting a decent sized amount of money in the bank for a nice weekend away or something.
Nice. Who's number 3 in the world? Ian Cox. Is it like Dan's brother? Do we know this? Dan Cox, is that your brother who's number 3 in the world?
I don't know, mate. Or maybe it's just Dan on his fake account.
Who knows? Yeah.
He's not going to tell anyone until he wins it at the end.
That is very true. Ian is only one letter away from Dan. Ooh, we started conspiracy theories here.
Ian is only one letter away.
Yeah, change the I to a D and it's Dan.
M got EFGH in the middle. D The
you only have to change one letter in the word Ian to turn it into Dan. That's what
That's true. Maybe it's the eye. Could be.
But whoever is third in the world, Ian Cox is doing well. Michael Shipley's still kidding it out top.
I think Michael Shipley's won it twice before, I'm sure someone said.
Really? He's a pro.
exactly what you and I are not, mate.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
But definitely the top four. Michael Shipley, Thomas Lavelle, Ian Cox, and Kerry Vinters are doing really well. Kerry had a big shot up on Sunday. I don't know if perhaps she'd gone with Bale, maybe, actually. Mm. Those four are definitely in the running. And those in the top 10, you wouldn't rule out yet, but they're going to have to smash it on the captaincies and stuff. I mean, to give you some perspective, I'm 99 points off of first. I am off of the top 10, 41 points off.
Mm. Okay.
It's too much. There's other people ahead of me. It's not just me catching the guy who's 10th. I've got to catch the other 20 people in between as well, right? I mean, it's probably a little bit too much. Top 20 is reachable. It's 20 points.
So we're going into a game week now, which is what we like in Sky, where there's loads of match days, because it does give you the opportunity for more captaincies and obviously more of a change from the crowd and breaking away. When you've only got two or three game days, it's a little bit same again, please, isn't it? So let's talk about captaincy. Before we do, is it worth talking about what's going to happen with this Liverpool fixture? Because if that slots into the Thursday, things could be quite different. And if it doesn't, so any ideas on when we'll know, what we'll know, and so on and so on?
So as we covered on detail on our FPL pod yesterday, I still think the most likely scenario is that United-Liverpool game will be rearranged for Sunday the 16th. That would need West Brom and Liverpool to be brought forward almost certainly to Thursday the 13th, the same evening that Aston Villa play Everton. I can already see people at the back end, so I've held Dominic Calvert-Lewin for absolutely
for nothing.
No.
Yeah.
Well, we returned at the weekend, thank you very much. I'll take those 18 points. That's one solution. I wouldn't guarantee that United and Liverpool would be the 4:30 p.m. kickoff, because I think the police might say, well, if you're putting it in there, it's 12 o'clock. Sod all this stuff, not taking another chance. That's a possibility, I would say. The other alternative, which has been mentioned over the last 24 hours or so on a few forums, is the idea of Manchester United and Liverpool taking place on Monday the 17th, which currently there's obviously no fixture for. There's no fixture scheduled for that night. The reason I don't like that idea kind of is highlighted by what I've just said. The police are probably not going to want 4:30 on a Sunday, never mind 8 p.m. on a Monday, as much as that might be what Sky wants. Now, for that to happen, obviously, Liverpool are scheduled to play West Brom the day before. So there's a suggestion of swapping two fixtures. West Brom and Liverpool, therefore, becoming the Friday night, and Newcastle and Manchester City being moved to 4:30 p.m. on the Sunday.
So Liverpool play Friday, Monday.
Correct, but have two single game days in a row, yeah. So, mm-hmm. I mean, 100% would need something under that route. I still think it's more likely that United-Liverpool will be on the Sunday the 16th, and that movement of West Brom-Liverpool to the Thursday, I think, is the more likely scenario. That seemed to be everything that people were saying and suggesting, and we were sort of talking on our Slack channel and stuff about possibilities. We've all seemed to come to the similar conclusion of that. The changing of the idea of swapping Newcastle-City to the Sunday and West Brom Liverpool to the Friday to an open up United Liverpool on the Monday is something that's come about from a few forums that have been suggested over the last 24 hours or so. But it could just be there's people trying to be clever and finding alternatives. And it is a very clever alternative, but I can't see the police going for 8 o'clock on a Monday night. Can you?
It doesn't seem worthwhile when you've got a straightforward solution at the moment, which is West Brom Liverpool on a Thursday, play it on the Sunday.
The thing with that is as well, if they moved again, say 12 o'clock on a Sunday, if there is proper shit again, and get that act together again, they've still got all, you know, you could replay at 6 o'clock that night, whatever, give it some proper time and stuff, as long as they don't let people get into the stadium. If the game's scheduled for 8 o'clock on a Monday, and it's disturbed, the game will not happen. Mm. I suggest if it does ever happen on a single game day, please wait till the players are actually physically warming up on the pitch before you buy a player. I wouldn't go near it because they will try and get the game postponed again. There's no doubt about it.
Is that what they've said is their agenda, is to keep getting games postponed?
Well, the protests are going to keep continuing. It's literally, and like I said, unless United were to get like a 10-point deduction or something, it's got no relevance on their season in terms of what's achievable. Mm. It just doesn't matter to them, does it?
No. No,
and it might, and it might disturb Liverpool's season as well, right? I mean, I presume if it got postponed again, Liverpool would just get awarded the points. I presume is what would happen. And I'm sure we'll get to a place where the game will get played. I think Sunday the 16th is the most likely. But do be aware that Friday the 14th is being suggested as an alternative.
Okay.
The other thing with Monday the 17th, of course, is as well, all the fixtures have been moved now, 36 back to the weekend, 37 to the midweek afterwards, to obviously allow every team to have fans in for one home game. That can start technically from Monday the 17th. So if they put United and Liverpool Monday the 17th, they're going to let fans in for that as well. I presume they wouldn't.
Yeah, it's too quick a turnaround.
It's another reason to say no. Plus, if United win in the Europa League tomorrow night, well, they don't need to win as long as they lose.
As long as they don't lose by less than three, yeah.
Yeah, they're going to be in Europa League finals. So from that perspective, are they going to schedule United's fixtures would then have to be Monday, Thursday, Sunday, and then Europa League final on the Wednesday, which you could say, all right, yeah, so I can get three games of Bruno at the end over perhaps someone else is injured or something. Just a chance of him playing at Wolves on final day. Probably not likely, I would say. The chances are United will rest the majority of the team for the game at Wolves. So where you're looking at it now and going, well, they've got extra fixture over the majority of the teams. Actually, you might want to think about removing the Wolves fixture from your thinking because it's likely to be heavy rotation.
Yeah.
So it probably isn't the gains that it necessarily looks like there might be. I think it'll be Sunday the 16th, and I think there's every chance it'll be 12 o'clock.
I agree with you. I think common sense and logic dictates that. But we know that sometimes...
That obviously means the other fixtures back, so probably Palace v Villa becomes two, Tottenham v Wolves becomes half four, etc.
Correct.
That's what I think they're going to do. I don't believe the police are going to say, yeah, we're happy with this 4:30 on a Sunday again.
No. Let's talk about captaincy then. Starting on Friday night, again, Leicester City. Iheanacho? Iheanacho for me as well. He's going to stay in the team. If he's not, then I've got a backup in Maddison as well. But Iheanacho for me.
Quite straightforward for me. I mean, 65% owned. I think the majority of the top 100 are probably on him, I would say. A few have obviously gone with Vardy differential, and I understand why they made that decision. It's not quite worked out, unfortunately. It's probably more about what next with Leicester afterwards. So I've got Iheanacho and Maddison. Maddison has not worked out for me. Is definitely expendable, I think. And there's a move that I'll talk about in a sec that I intend to do for Saturday. That's probably my plan. Maddison to Zaha.
I was going to do the same, but I was thinking maybe Iheanacho to Zaha, but we'll see.
But that's possibly a little bit dependent on Rafinha's fitness. So if Rafinha's still out again, I might just cut the losses on him, I think. Go Rafinha to Zaha, and I've still got Maddison. Because ideally, the better time to come off for Leicester is probably after the Manchester United game. And then get yourself, if that Liverpool fixture with West Brom gets moved to the Thursday, going to probably Liverpool the next day and knowing that they'll have four fixtures left. So Thursday, Sunday, Wednesday or Thursday, and then the Sunday. And they're four good fixtures as well. That's probably a better route. I'd look at the United fixture and think, particularly if they do well on Friday night, Leicester, if they win, that probably makes them just about secure for top four. If they don't, he puts them at risk, as we discussed yesterday. So I think the result of that's quite important to my thinking, because obviously they play at United 3 days before the FA Cup final. Then it's Chelsea in 37 as well. So the two tough fixtures, plus the United game, you'd expect rotation. Tottenham on the last day, they would obviously be favourites for, but it's not the easiest fixture. So there's a strong case to say getting rid of Leicester immediately after Friday, or after the Wednesday game. But I think it might be a bit dependent on actually what their result is. In an odd way, should they not win, I might be more likely to keep their assets for a little bit longer. But I think Maddison will go for me. And as I said, he's probably to Zaha on Saturday.
Gives you the coverage midweek.
Well, it gives me the coverage for Southampton Palace. I think the two outstanding outfield candidates are probably Ward-Prowse or Zaha. Ward-Prowse, sheer consistency. Every chance in a fixture like Palace, he could pick up passing tiers. We're saying Vestergaard, by the way, is only suspended for the Liverpool game. So if you still got him, keep him for Palace. He wasn't going to get you fuck all at Liverpool anyway, so don't worry about it.
Exactly.
So Vestergaard's obviously an alternative because, again, Palace, to be honest, he's likely to hit Parsonage. You just don't fancy them defensively at the moment at all, which is why I cut my losses a few weeks back. I like the fact that I can, obviously, Palace and Southampton both play on Saturday. So if you're coming off Leicester, really you should buy the player on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And Zaha walks into Sheffield United. I can't be waiting for Tuesday. Just go and get him Saturday.
Yep.
And I already know that he's going to pain me and frustrate me. I'm not recommending anybody else goes and buys Wilfred Zaha. I'm saying that is almost definitely what I'm going to do. It's going to pain. I looked for his numbers. Basically never hit shots here, I think twice this season. Doesn't particularly haul. But you walking into buying him straight away against the two teams that have been the worst in the league in 2021 in Sheffield United and Southampton. And actually the fact that they're away games, I think, are actually more of a positive than a negative. And then you've got a decent fixture against Villa afterwards, and Arsenal's not the worst after that either. So I'm almost definitely going to Zaha Saturday, whether it's Maddison or Rafinha is probably quite dependent on what the situation is with Rafinha. So I'd like to keep Rafinha, really. Burnley, Southampton, West Brom, the last three. It's decent.
What's your thoughts on captaincy on Saturday? Tottenham away at Leeds or Liverpool at home to Southampton? I only own Jota. I don't own Salah. And with my captaincy bad luck recently, I'm sticking safe. And if Son's in the team, I'm going to go Sonny.
Best choice is Salah, in my opinion, if you have. I'll go Kane because I've got him. I don't think I need to overthink it. If Calvin Phillips is out for Leeds, I think that definitely locks in Harry Kane for me as captain. That's what I'll go with. I'll just back Harry. But I think if I had both, I'd go Salah Saturday, I think. There are obviously alternatives. Trent, City defensively doesn't matter against anybody. You run the risk of will they play or not. But then you take Cancelo. He's just had he didn't play in the Champions League last night. Does he come back in for Saturday? I think the caution with City-Chelsea is, particularly if Chelsea win tonight, do either of them really want to show their hand?
No, I don't think they will. I think they'll just take it as quite a cagey game. Chelsea need the points more than City because that top four race is much tighter and the title race is non-existent.
So I think you'd stay away from it. And it's worth saying, in terms of captaincy selection, you'd have to put Zaha in the mix for Saturday. If you were going to go in hard, possibly, captain him twice, Saturday and Tuesday. It's possible, particularly if I was without Salah and Kane, I think I'd probably captain Zaha over Trent on Saturday, for example, if I was going down that route, just to go for it.
Yeah, not for me, but I could see why James you'd want to recommend that potentially. Sunday's interesting. Manchester United away at Aston Villa. I mean, Aston Villa were better in their most recent game, but obviously, that's one to consider. And you've got West Ham at home to Everton. I don't know if people still have Jay Lings. They might consider him as a potential candidate as well for captaincy.
I think information tomorrow night is quite important. So I think like if Bruno doesn't start at Roma, and in my opinion, he shouldn't. Mind you, he's just not played on the weekends. He's just had a break for a week. So I guess that helps. We've got a lot of fixtures still to come. Anything less than a 4-0 defeat, right, and they're going through, you would like to think he might get a break. If that's the case, I think that locks Bruno in for captaincy on Sunday. The effective ownership, probably better to go with it. There might be other people who depend on the Arsenal team, see something they like for Sunday. So perhaps if Rob Holding didn't play for Arsenal tomorrow night, you might think, well, that's a possible locked-in of 10-pointer. Not that you can particularly trust Arsenal at the moment. Jay Lings is obviously there. And I think if there's any fear over Bruno, a lot of people will just revert to type and go with Lingard. I won't rule out going with Lewis Dunk again.
Yep.
Very dependent on what I see on those teams from Wolves and Brighton. If I don't like what I see from Wolves, which is basically they pick players on Monday night to give them a bit more energy in the team. Vitinha's a good little player. Otisawi's got some legs about him. Silva at least moves up front, which William Jose doesn't. I mean, if William Jose was back in the Wolves team, I mean, Lewis Dunk should be passing the ball around all game. So I could yet go with Dunk. The other thing with Wolves is they've got a big problem defending aerial crosses. Big problem. We saw that again in the Burnley game a couple of weeks ago. So I wouldn't rule out getting there and going Dunk. But if I'm still most likely to go with Bruno, I think.
I think it's a safe option as well. For me, it's going to be Bruno. I really want to get Antonio in my team. Like I said, we talked about FPO as well, but I don't think it's...
With what you've got left, absolutely you should buy him on Sunday, mate.
We'll see. We'll see.
What Leicester players you got?
Iheanacho and Maddison.
Are you thinking of buying Zaha or Ward-Prowse?
Zaha.
You are likely to go for that, are you? Have you still got Rafinha? Yeah.
No, he's gone. He went a little while ago.
Who's your other midfielders?
Kevin De Bruyne, Maddison, Bruno, Jesse Lingard.
I'd hold on to KDB at the moment. I'll come on to him in a bit as well. Up front?
Jota, Heung-Min Son, Iheanacho.
At the back?
Cancelo, Dallas, and Azpi.
I'd be very tempted to bring Cancelo for Antonio or even Azpilicueta.
But then I need to get another defender because I've only got three at the back.
Oh, so you only got three?
Yeah, three defenders.
Oh, that's a problem. Mm. You could always buy one on Monday night.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. What are your thoughts on Monday, Fulham Burnley?
My thoughts are, first and foremost, is of the single game days, which we currently have, the three, Fulham Burnley, Southampton Palace and Villa Everton. I mean, Villa Everton, we don't think it's their single game day. Obviously, it's Newcastle, Man City as well. Fulham Burnley is for me, the most skippable.
I think I am going to skip it. I just have no need for any of the players. Even though I've got the transfers, I'm still going to skip it.
I do not intend to skip it. I do not know who I'm going to buy yet. I can probably say I narrow it down to four or five names. Both the goalkeepers, Areola and Pope. I think Pope will probably be quite popular when the fixture comes around on Monday night. Particularly for people like me who've got Patricio. I'm thinking, right, it was the end of that run. I always knew when I bought Patricio ages ago when they played Liverpool that I probably wouldn't keep him all the way through because of certain swings like this that might happen. So Patricio to Pope is definitely a possibility Monday night. I wouldn't rule out going Areola either. Because looking at the fixtures, Fulham have got Burnley, Southampton, United, Newcastle. And the Southampton that's still without Danny Ings is not quite the same as the Southampton with Danny Ings. So there's three potential clean sheets there. There's a look at Burnley, Fulham, Leeds, Liverpool, Sheffield United. And I'm not convinced it's any better. Plus, Burnley ain't been keeping many clean sheets recently. I know they had the one at Wolves, but that's the only one in like the last couple of months or so. And we've spoken about it many times. They're far more open at the moment. It's also noticeable that the trend of what you'd expect of passing tiers from defenders against Burnley is not as strong as what you'd expect either because they're pressing more without the ball. They're making games faster paced. So Anderson would be the one of the defenders that I'd want to consider. And it might end up that I go that way. I think my selection is going to be really dependent on the fitness of my players when the game comes around on Monday. So for example, if Arsenal were to reach the Europa League final, that's really going to put me off Rob Holding, who I've still got. He obviously didn't play at the weekend. You'd think Luiz got injured, makes him stronger prospect again. But then I'd look at Holding again and go, well, if I've got him against West Brom, is he going to play against Chelsea? And if they get to the Europa League final, is he going to play against Brighton on the final day? It might be that he's only got one game left.
Do we know if David Luiz's hammy's done? He's done for the season?
Not confirmed yet. Okay. Arteta's statements this morning were that we don't know yet, basically. So It depends. It could be a little bit like he's felt it and he's had issues with it in the past and he's gone, no, I need to come off the pitch because I know this can go. Or he's obviously done some damage. I think from what happened, it's more likely he's done some damage and his season's probably finished, I would have thought. But then take that case example I've said. If I think I've only got one game of Holding left when Fulham and Burnley starts, and I know I've got four games of Anderson plus a captaincy, he's probably worth it, isn't it? Mm. An effective 5-1. So it could be Anderson becomes a default because, like yourself, I've only got three defenders. So I'll have to be a defender at one point.
Yeah.
If I've already covered Southampton Palace with Zaha, he's possibly going to force me into Anderson.
Mm.
I don't want a Burnley defender.
No.
There's no point in that as far as I'm concerned. So it might be that I get forced into Anderson. The only other one of the offensive options, obviously Chris Wood's in good form at the moment. But I think for me to go Chris Wood on Monday, I'd need one of the three forwards to get injured or something to come out concrete like Roger saying Iheanacho is not going to play at Manchester United on the Wednesday. My instinct would be that Iheanacho probably does play that game. it's probably Vardy's the one who's more likely to get a break. That's how I'd see it. So I think there's a possibility I'll get forced into Anderson. If I don't get forced into Anderson, I'll probably do what many are thinking, which is buy Pope.
Right. Is Southampton Palace at Zaha? Straightforward?
Well, it'll be all I have. Mm-hmm. I would say for those who still got Vestergaard, I would probably prefer that,
yep.
Ironically, from a captaincy perspective. Against Palace, you really can expect the passing tiers. And JWP is a really good alternative to Zaha. That Ward-Prowse has scored far more points than Wilfried Zaha this season. He's on the pens at the moment with Danny Ings out. There's various avenues where he can get to point scoring, including tackle and passing tier for him in a fixture like this as well. So I would probably, in list of preference, I'd say probably Vestergaard, Ward-Prowse, Zaha. But I'm going Zaha partly because that Sheffield United fixture as well to attack that.
Agreed. The Monday night, we'll have the advantage of... Wednesday night, we'll have the advantage of the Manchester United team against Leicester.
If the game happens.
Yeah, true. And then we've got the Chelsea-Arsenal game as well. For me, Bruno again. I'm going to keep it simple. I'm going to stick with Bruno.
Well, I think it's going to be a big benefit to the majority of people that the United-Leicester game is first, because you're probably going to have coverage of Bruno / Iheanacho. That said, the news on people like Azpilicueta could have been really important as well. I'm likely, I think, when I walk into the game to have Bruno / Iheanacho. If I got there and neither were in the team, I would possibly captain Holding if he didn't play against West Brom on the Sunday. But then you're not expecting anything off that. And you think about it, you think, will I just be better off having a half hour with Bruno at the end?
Mm.
And the answer to that would probably be yes. So the only reason I could possibly see me not captaining someone from the United-Leicester fixture, in fact, I can't even see if Bruno and Iheanacho were both on the bench, I still can't see me captaining Holding over one of them two. There's every chance Holding wouldn't be in the team either, right? And I don't have any Chelsea coverage. So I think if they were both subs, I'd still go Bruno. I actually think United might win that game quite handsomely, which is obviously really dependent on what the Leicester team is, of course.
And on the Thursday, you own Dominic Calvert-Lewin, so you're going to stick with Dominic Calvert-Lewin, obviously, unless Liverpool come into the mix.
Well, the plan at the moment would be Trent for me.
Right.
Because I think that's what's going to happen. What I would say is on Villa-Everton, if you've got the likes of Martinez or Calvert-Lewin and you're thinking of moving it on, I just take a second look at that, because you might think, oh, I've got the Liverpool coverage now for that, but your Liverpool player might not start if it's 3 days before Manchester United, if that's the way the fixtures work. So you might still want that buffer of the coverage in the background. So, I mean, I don't have any intention to get rid of Calvert-Lewin at the moment for that exact reason. And if I got there and Trent wasn't in the team, my intention, obviously, would be to captain Calvert-Lewin instead. But you'd definitely go to Liverpool player again, Salah, if he's in the team. We presume that'll be the 6 o'clock kickoff. Would be the standout.
Cool. Let's look at some of these Twitter questions that we've had in as well, James. And I know some are going to touch on a few topics that you mentioned that you did want to talk about.
We can. Just one more thing to that. If I obviously buy Zaha and then buy a Fulham or Burnley player on Monday, which is highly likely, that only leaves me one left. My intention for the last one would be to buy, I have no Manchester City coverage, would be to buy a Manchester City player against Newcastle, as long as that game happens on the Friday night. If that's the case, then I'm going to wait for the team, obviously, rather than sort of invest in City this week off of Leicester. And the first choice for me would be De Bruyne, as long as he's in the team. I think failing that, then Mahrez, Foden. I actually want to go with a midfield player, I think can offer a bit of differential when that fixture comes around. Should the City-Newcastle game get moved to the Sunday and we end up with a West Brom-Liverpool game on the Friday, I think it's probably more likely that I'll use the final transfer to buy another Liverpool player.
So you've answered a few of the Twitter questions that we had in with one that
Sorry.
One failed statement. Stephen Lee, what to do with Man City players? Well, I've got De Bruyne I'm holding. Cancelo for me is expendable. If there's somebody that gives me an advantage in terms of fixtures because of rotation with City, De Bruyne stays, Cancelo goes. And like James mentioned, you can pick one up for the Newcastle game.
I think City winning last night in the Champions League is good news for your Manchester City assets. Not bad news. I think it's good news. I've used this reference before about the Tottenham-Liverpool final in 2019 being 3 weeks after the season start finish, it being a really flat match. I think Guardiola will obviously rotate, but he's going to want to keep his players competitive and match fit and ready for that final. He's also in a blessed situation, isn't he, that he knows even if he loses a player through injury, he's not short of replacements sitting on the bench, right? So I think he'll be looking to keep his team that would play the final, which I think is probably the team that played last night, bar possibly Rodri for Fernandinho and Cancelo versus Zinchenko at left back. That's his first choice team at the moment. So I think those players will still get plenty of attention in the fixtures that are upcoming. And that's why I'd look at it and go, yeah, do you know what? If I have to buy a City player for that Friday the 14th, it's a good enough fixture to steam into a captaincy. And I probably am going to get the minutes of something else. Obviously, if I've got doubts about something for some reason when it comes around, you can always fall back to a defensive one. It might even be, in my case, that I fall back on Edison and just go, do you know what? I'll take the 29 points that it will get me over the three games with a one captaincy or something. He's likely to be more than Patricio's. I don't like that because there's no fixture gain on that particular move. But it might be once I get there, that's what the decision becomes. Particularly if for whatever reason I end up buying a more expensive player than I intend to. But the way I've got it set at the moment, if I went Maddison to Zaha, and I think the most likely move is going to be holding to Anderson, I think is what I'm going to end up doing. He does leave me enough in the bank to go Rafinha to De Bruyne. So in terms of choices of decisions, I don't have a problem from that perspective with the money in the bank. But I think the majority of the big players will continue to play. There's spacing if the game stays on the Friday. They're likely to be Friday the 14th, Tuesday the 18th, Sunday the 23rd, then 6 days for the Champions League finals. It's good spacing as well. Mm. So I actually think there'd be probably more minutes for City players than what you imagine.
Yep. Ian Parrin, he wants to know, the fixture announcements notwithstanding, if you only had one transfer left, you talked about your last transfer there, James, which of the top 20 highest owned players, he's put a graphic there, I reckon you'll probably be able to guess the majority.
Oh, I've got to go and find a tweet now.
Would you remove from your team after which match and who would you replace them with? Keep up the good work, gents.
Who would I remove?
And who would you replace them with? I am going to say, for me, with the players that I own, I would get rid of Iheanacho after their game on Friday and I'd buy Antonio.
Yep, that's one. To be honest, the one that was springing to mind for me was Bruno.
Get rid of him and replace him with?
I would say after the Leicester game and then a Manchester City player. That if I was short of money and you think, well, again, there's no... But I'd look at it and go, I wouldn't be captaining Bruno against Liverpool when I've got Kane versus Wolves.
Mm.
If they play on the Sunday against Liverpool, their fixture's going to fall in line with other fixtures on the Wednesday and Thursday where there'll be good alternatives, which probably includes Kane again against Aston Villa. And if they reach the Europa League final, I don't think he'll play against Wolves on the final day. So in an odd way, it'd actually be Bruno. Mm. At the moment, it doesn't look right to sell him. It might after that Leicester game for those who've got transfers in hand.
Fantomantle asks about Rafinha. You did talk about him. He has 5 transfers left. If Rafinha doesn't start Saturday, do you switch him for a 5-for-3, Zaha or JWP? Or hold for the run-in and hope he comes back?
Yeah, that might be... It's kind of what I said. I can't tell you if I'm going to sell Maddison or Rafinha yet on Saturday. I definitely want to keep Rafinha because I think the 4 fixtures Leeds have are absolutely brilliant. I can see like Rafinha going off big in one of those last 2 games against Southampton or West Brom as a really nice differential, which I guess is what he's going to become now because of how long he's been out. But there's also a thought of if he's out again... Is it going to become like the Grealish thing? Where's our next week, next week, next week?
Mm.
And before you know it, he's missed the rest of the season. He's just been sitting there for you.
Yeah.
So it might be that I have to make a decision on Saturday to move him on. I obviously, as a Spurs fan, I hope he doesn't fucking play and I have to sell him.
And the 5-for-3, once you factor in if you're going to captain Zaha in 1 or 2 of the games, it becomes even more interesting. So, yeah, for me, if Rafinha's not playing, I think it might be time to move him on because I don't have any faith in him coming back for the rest of the season.
The only other thing that on Rafinha is obviously Saturday the 15th is extremely unlikely to change. You've got Burnley versus Leeds as the first kickoff. You've got Fulham, Southampton versus Fulham, Brighton versus West Ham. So there is another opportunity maybe to come off for Rafinha the following week if you think he's going to be out and go to Antonio that same day, for example, if he's not in the Leeds team, might be another alternative route for some people. Probably people have got transfers in hand. Or, of course, as I've said, it could even be for me, Suj, that on the Friday, Bielsa rules Rafinha out for the Burnley game the next day. And I go, okay, right, well, he's now the one I'm definitely selling for the Man City game.
Yeah.
So there's a couple of ways out for me with it. I would like to hold him ideally, as I said, because I think he's got potential. And Tuesday the 18th is when I think Leeds will play Southampton. I think that's really highly likely. It's obviously at St Mary's because the two teams obviously play on the Saturday the 15th. And there's only a set few games that can go on the Tuesday. Now, that's a little bit dependent on what happens with these Liverpool fixtures and the Newcastle Man City fixtures, what else goes that night. But it might be the way it lands that Rafinha against Southampton on Tuesday the 18th won't be the worst call. I think you're now likely, if the fixtures move the way I think they do, though, I think you're probably going to have West Brom against West Ham the same night and probably Brighton against Man City as the three games. But then you could probably bet your life that City will be the 8 o'clock game and you won't see the team. And it might be you end up defaulting with a Rafinha or Lingard out of fear once you get there. So I'd bear that in mind.
We have Talha Nedim, who's doing particularly well. Does it matter really if we finish outside the top five overall? Not involved in cash mini leagues. Not sure if punts fail. That whether I'll regret finishing quite low or try to console myself with I went for it. So is it a go for it or tap out?
I think it's really dependent. What's your goals, right? I mean, Talha's case, if he's not in any mini leagues and stuff, he's going to find he's going to be in some next year, I bet. If he's not in any mini leagues, I'm inclined to say go for it. When people say, oh, go for it, go for it, go for it, you have to factor in that other people might be sitting there with potentially making £1,000 worth through mini leagues and stuff, possibly even more. And therefore, they have to be conscious of that, because you could go and you could be sort of 15th at the moment or something and think, I'm going to tear up the team and go for it. And before you know it, you finish 50th, 60th, and you're out of the money in the mini leagues and stuff as well, possibly. So you've got to do what's best for you. I think in Talha's case, if he's not in any mini leagues, go for it. Don't have regrets. What's the worst thing that will happen? The worst thing that will happen is you'll finish far, far lower than you are now, 20th, 30th or something. But actually, it's not going to make a difference to you whether you finish 6th or 20th. It doesn't change anything in your life.
True.
Something to put in a bio and say, I finished 6th. But then they wipe all the memory and you can't even prove it to anyone anyway.
FPO Offspin, a great work as always, guys. With only 4 transfers left, would you replace Diaz and Gundogan? And if so, with who?
No, I'd be inclined to keep.
Me too. Gundo, I'd replace more than Diaz.
Gundogan now, it's interesting because effectively in the biggest games at the moment, City are basically playing 4-4-2, but no one really wants to say it because no one wants to associate a Guardiola team with a 4-4-2. But it's basically what the system is without the ball. And it does mean that Guardiola is playing a bit deeper than obviously that period of sort of January.
Guardiola ain't playing.
Did I say Guardiola?
Yeah,
Guardiola was, can I just say, by the way, Guardiola was a better player.
Yeah.
Gundogan's playing deeper than what he was before, so he's more expendable. You're probably going to find that there are escape routes from Gundogan. I know he fucking said it again. From Gundogan on the Sunday, the single game day is something that's going to appeal to you. But just be conscious as well that if you've got two Man City players like Diaz and Gundogan, and Newcastle City remains a single game day on Friday the 14th, I imagine selling them becomes quite difficult because you'd be thinking, oh, okay, I should probably sell Gundogan. But then you'll get there and Gundogan will be in the team and Diaz won't. And you'll be wishing you'd done that the other way round. Because effectively, the City players you've got left, the important game's the Newcastle game. It's really what matters most. If I said to someone now, right, you've got Gundogan, and in the fixtures against Chelsea, Brighton and Everton, he's only going to get 2-pointers, but he's going to smash in an 18-pointer times 2 against Newcastle for 36 points or something. You're going to go, I'll take that. So you have to factor that in. So therefore, I think it makes it very difficult to sell the City players probably till after the Newcastle game. And if you get that far, you might find you're not selling at all.
Ben Pritchard currently holds Kane, Iheanacho and Salah. Antonio, Wood and Bale, worth jumping on any of these three bandwagons? I don't know if they're bandwagons, but Bale, yeah, not for me. Probably because I think Kane is always going to be a better captaincy shout than Bale. especially with the ownership. Chris Wood, not for me. Antonio is the only one that I would consider.
Well, what's interesting with Bale is, unlike in, say, FPL, obviously Tottenham is the early kickoff on Saturday. So you get to see if he's in the team. I'm calling it about 70% will be in the team. But I think if you see the Tottenham team and then Leeds are still without Rafinha, Phillips and stuff, that becomes quite attractive knowing you've got Wolves and Villa at home afterwards.
Will he play those?
Wolves and Villa, I would have thought so, yeah.
Okay.
I'd have more doubt about him playing Leeds this weekend because of the intensity of Leeds. Wolves, Villa, my anticipation is that Tottenham Villa is going to be Thursday the 20th. So my anticipation at the moment is that Bale probably plays against Leeds, definitely plays against Wolves. As long as his recovery is all right, starts against Villa, and depending on what the situation of our season is, probably then depends what happens at Leicester on the final day. But if you're looking for a differential, particularly if you haven't got Kane, I mean, people have done best this weekend and swung with Gareth and gone different, right? Or Captain Heung-Min Son like you did or didn't. So I think the team's tempting. And plus, obviously, because of potential Leicester ownership, you do have an exit and an entry. Is to come off Leicester Saturday lunchtime and buy Bale potentially, particularly if it fits for, say, Iheanacho. If you want to move on from that, then depends what you've got with your other forwards, right? I think if you're sitting there with Kane, Salah, and at the moment, say you needed Calvert-Lewin's coverage for the Thursday, then it's very difficult to get Bale in. Remember, he's obviously classified as a forward. So it depends on availability as well. But then the benefit of that is, you know that a lot of other people, therefore, cannot get there. So it might be worth considering. I don't mind that as a differential. I definitely don't mind attacking Antonio on Sunday. The only thing I'd say about that is, are you going to captain him in West Ham's remaining fixtures? I know they'd all look good, but the way they land, you might not necessarily. And there's always the fear with him. Can he even make it through four games? And you don't want to waste that transfer at the moment.
Yeah, it's horrible. But that's the big problem with him.
Like, for you, you should definitely buy him on Sunday. I think you should find a way. For me, I'm just going to have to stay with Lingard. I mean, if I was buying one now, I'd definitely buy Antonio over Lingard. But I'll have to leave it. Who was the other player mentioned?
Chris Wood.
Chris Wood. Yeah, maybe. To be honest, similar answer to Bale. Can you fit him in, I think, on Monday? For me, I would probably have to lose one of Iheanacho, Calvert-Lewin or Kane to injury over the weekend, I think, to consider Chris Wood.
There we go. That's a rundown on the questions that we had on Twitter as well, James, as well as a rundown on captaincy, fixtures and how badly I'm doing and how well you are doing.
Lovely stuff. As I said, if the fixtures with Liverpool work the way they are, I think Tuesday the 18th is probably likely to look, as I said, West Brom against West Ham, Southampton, Leeds, Brighton v Man City. And I think the Thursday is likeliest to be probably Chelsea against Leicester and Tottenham against Aston Villa. And the only reason I say those two fixtures, which obviously leaves the other five for the Wednesday, the only reason I say those two fixtures for the Thursday is because those four teams actually play each other again on Sunday.
Right.
So Chelsea go to Villa and Leicester play Tottenham. So if those four teams are the only four teams that play on Thursday, they've all got a three-day gap to the final games. It feels fair, particularly if the Champions League place is still up for grabs for Chelsea, Leicester, Tottenham after this weekend's set of fixtures. Then I can see that possibly being the way they'd arrange it. Then coverage-wise, you're okay for the majority of people, Kane against Villa, and it will likely be the earlier kickoff. The Tuesday, you'll have Lingard or Antonio or Rafinha or you gamble Man City player. And then you've got everybody else to Wednesday, probably Liverpool against Burnley to choose from. So I don't see the midweek, those Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday fixtures. I can't see us getting to a situation where suddenly you're going to land with no coverage for any of those days. Because they you know what they're going to do as well. They're going to spread the big six out across the 3 days and stuff. So I mean, for you to get there and have no captaincy on the 3 days would be extremely unlikely. Mm. But that scenario that I've said that I think could happen is very dependent on United Liverpool landing on the Sunday the 16th.
Yeah. There we go. Guys, thank you for joining us on Planet Sky FF. We'll be back at you tomorrow. There's Clash of the Correspondents as well as a deadline stream. Is deadline stream on Friday? this week?
Yes,
yeah, 5:30. Exactly, yeah. That. So remind everybody, who's on Clash of the Correspondents tomorrow with you, James?
Chelsea v Arsenal, previewing their weekend games. And obviously the game next Wednesday, rotation FPL on 3-5-2. And if you want a bit extra Southampton Palace in terms of where to go, it won't be Sky focused, but FPL Gaffer and McTavis previewing Southampton and Crystal Palace on Friday.
Fantastic. Stay safe wherever you are. Ciao for now.
I was sipping on water. Good luck, everyone. Have a good weekend. Cue music, please, man child.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Sports Social Podcast Network.